Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Smash Pop.
Hello and welcome to Smash Pod, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films by those who enjoy, hate, or aren't even asked about them, hosted by me, John Rain. We'll be delving deeply into Bond, tackling a different film each episode with an exciting guest by my side. Now, episode 5 brings us the Oriental escapades of You Only Live Twice. My special guest this week is the excellent scientist extraordinaire at Scientits. Yes, that's right, at Scientits. A name befitting any Bond adventure, if you ask me. So, without any further ado, let's yolt. Huh?
My friend, now you take your first civilized bath.
Really? Well, I like the plumbing.
Place yourself entirely in their hands, my dear Bond son. Rule number one is never do anything for yourself when someone else can do it for you.
And number two?
Rule number two, in Japan, men always come first, women come second.
I might just retire to here.
Right, so science.
Hello.
Science, I'm going to call you science.
Okay, that's fine.
Is that all right?
That's absolutely fine, yeah.
I mean, the gentleman in me won't let me constantly refer to his tits.
No, although that is, well, I mean, I've had the handle for so long now, that is what everyone calls me. I introduce myself at Twitter Meets as Tits.
Yeah. I suppose it's one of those words that if you say it enough, it loses its meaning.
Yes, it's just tits, really. Yeah.
Like if you say sovereignty enough, it stops meaning anything.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, bit of satire there for everyone.
Yeah.
Right, so science, like a rapper.
Yeah, I suppose so, maybe.
Yeah, so You Only Live Twice then?
Yes.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
It is probably my favourite Bond. I came to it, so when you asked me to do this, I had to think about when I first sort of got into it, and I think I was quite young, sort of, I wouldn't say small child, probably about 9 or 10. Hmm. And I had a cassette tape, showing my age there, of John Barry's film music, and You Only Live Twice was the first track on the tape, and so I sort of got into it through that way, and wanted to see the film from that. I don't think I'd seen any Bond movies prior to that. I was probably a bit too on the young side. Hmm. That's when I got into it, and it's a crazy film, and that's probably why I like it so much.
And the music, I should say, the music is exceptional in this one.
It's very, very nice. Yeah.
I particularly enjoyed at the beginning the Blofeld's giant space dildo that eats other spaceships.
Eats other spaceships, yeah. Yes, that was quite funny. The first time I watched the movie, so I think, like I said, I was probably about 9 or 10. The Blofeld's little dildo comes and eats the American spaceship, which is the first one.
It is, yeah.
And being a sort of kid at that time, I remember asking my mum, with the spaceman's line gets cut off.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what happens to the spaceman then? And mum just said, well, he just floats around until he dies. But so she didn't sugarcoat anything.
No.
And then the next question, being an inquisitive child as I always was, I said, well, what if he needs to go to the loo? I said, well, he just goes in his suit, I suppose. In other words, stop asking stupid questions. So
she should have said, well, first... when people die, they invariably.
Well, exactly. So that was the sort of first viewing of the movie. It's a bit weird, that scene, isn't it?
I wanted to know what the astronaut was doing, because he kind of looked like he was going out there to set up an aerial.
I know, like to get a TV signal or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Can you see the football yet? It was a bit like Rod Hull died in the same way, didn't he? So in many ways, they predicted Rod Hull's death.
Yes. Yeah.
Poor Rod.
I mean, the other thing that surprised me was their shock at seeing another spaceship in space.
And it took them fucking ages as well. He was like, there's something coming, there's something coming. If you just look behind you, it's right fucking there.
So that's kind of a bit weird, really, isn't it?
Worst astronauts ever.
Yeah, unless there's, I don't know how many satellites there were at that time. I would think that another spaceship is probably the least surprising thing you could find in space.
Well, yeah. It did make me think as well that The Spy Who Loved Me essentially rips off this plot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Except it's a boat, it's an oil tanker instead of a spaceship. But what's brilliant is then you then cut to Bond, who's who's just finished his sexual relations.
Yes.
And delivers. Yeah. You get the was it M who says? Someone says, "Our man in Hong Kong."
Is working on it now.
Yeah. See, what he didn't know is he was actually at that moment climaxing in sex.
So, well, that's Bond, really, isn't it? I mean, that's the continuing theme of he's, and I think as others have said, he's a bit of a shit spy, really.
Yes.
He probably shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. With all these, I don't know. I guess they haven't been cleared by MI6.
No.
For security purposes, so it's a bit rubbish.
But also, what made me laugh is that obviously at this point he's flipped up and, you know, he says the line about, why do Chinese... Is he saying Chinese girls taste different?
Yeah.
And she says better, and he says, no, just different. And then he gets flipped up in the bed and they machine gun him, presumably for missing every part of his body somehow.
Does that happen?
I don't understand that at all. And then I'm thinking afterwards, I thought, well, why did you shag him first?
It's a mystery, isn't it?
Surely she could have said, I'll be there in a minute, I'm just going to go and slip into something more comfortable and then shoot him.
Yeah, although it might be tactical on her part, because, you know, a fair amount of men do go to sleep after sex. That's so maybe true. She was planning on getting him that way.
True. And what made me laugh is that the two people who come to identify his body are essentially the fucking James Bond fan club, because one of them goes, at least he died on the job. It's how he would have wanted it.
Yeah. Does that mean spying or shagging, though? That's the...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't... I'm guessing they're both referring probably. To... They probably nudged each other when they got outside. You know what you said? Yeah. That could have meant shagging and not spying, you know?
Well, yeah.
That is what I was implying, yeah. Oh, sorry. But this is written by Roald Dahl. The screenplay is Roald Dahl.
Yes, that's right. I think when I was sort of looking up, I understand the book wasn't considered Fleming's best, or it wasn't as good as the others had been, and thus the story wasn't quite... worthy of being translated to a film. So I believe that's when they got Roald Dahl involved, and as a result, I think the film is departs quite a bit from the book.
Because it's got that chocolate factory at the end, hasn't it, which is a bit weird.
Yes. So that's how I understand it. But, I mean, I think as crazy as it is, I do like the screenplay and the dialogue.
It's great.
The usual. Yeah.
Way better than the other films before it, I think. It isn't so... Because quite a few of them, like Thunderball, for instance, I quite like, and then it disappears up its own arse when it goes underwater, whereas I think this one's fairly solid all the way through.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think that was a good idea to get him in.
But I do want to know something, though. I'd like to know, if you can explain to me why, if they're faking Bond's death, right, why on earth he needed to be in the pretend death plaster cast that got put in the sea?
Oh, yeah, no, that just wouldn't happen, would it?
Why would you need to actually put his body in there?
You'd just put a stiff in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and they're putting him in a submarine where no one else is, where no one else can see.
Exactly. No one else can even access that body bag. So, yeah, I mean, MI6 must have dead bodies just for this purpose, you know, you sort of ring up and...
A guy from Bonfires Night they had left over.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, you would just put a dead body in there and...
It seems like a massive waste of taxpayers' money to stage an elaborate death with a funeral at sea. Full shooting up in the air and everything.
See, yeah, it's a bit of a waste, isn't it?
Daily Mail would be livid.
I guess that's what... they would justify it somehow
M justified it by saying, that'll keep your enemies quiet for a while. And then in the same breath was like, right, I'm sending you to Japan, you know.
Yeah.
It reminded me a bit of that sort of urban myth about Bruce Lee. You know, they say that Bruce Lee didn't die. He went undercover in the Hong Kong police. It was like, why would you send the most recognisable man in the world undercover? And it's the same with Bond. Why on earth would you stage his death? I mean, then to send him out knowing he's the worst spy in the world and will be identified within 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, he's very recognisable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, that if you were going to have a spy... So I used to work opposite MI5 and you see people coming in and out of there and...
On jetpacks.
They seem to be like kind of nondescript in that you don't really notice them, I guess. They're not beautiful or handsome people. That's not disparaging.
No.
I think that's part of being a spy, is that you don't have sort of recognisable.
You mean you don't stick out, so you're not.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So
you
someone
don't walk
handsome.
Into a bar and say, "My name's James Bond. I'd like my usual drink, please."
No, exactly. You don't do that sort of thing. I think, back to what we were saying, Bond is a shit spy.
Mm.
Wandering around in his sort of charming swagger way is just going to attract all the wrong sorts of attention, really.
I liked it when he did go to Japan and he had to, his password that Moneypenny gave him, which was, do you remember what it was?
I... love you.
There you
repeat
go.
It, please. Yes. Yes. Oh, Moneypenny. Oh, I have to stop here a moment and say I think she looked very becoming in her white navel. Yes. Yes. Bond is an idiot. I have to say he's a fucking idiot. I would watch a Bond film where he suddenly realises what a catch she is and pursues her, but she tells him to fuck off before going off with a much better man.
They kind of do that with the Pierce Brosnan ones, though, don't they?
Yes.
In the kind early
of,
ones, anyway.
But yeah.
Until they got to cyber sex, but yeah. Well,
yeah.
I, in the previous film, in Thunderball, the bit where she talks about him putting her over her knee with yogurt and vinegar... That's probably what would put him off her. She's a bit weird.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
She's probably about 15 cats.
Yes, perhaps. So in M's office on board the submarine, I'm really disappointed that the notes with the information on don't self-destruct, is that not what you were taught in other movies? I mean, imagine having to set fire to things yourself.
Bond has to actually manually do it.
Yeah.
He didn't even get the little note, you know, the little, this message will self-destruct. He had to probably say that to himself as he did it.
Oh.
But when he got to Tokyo and he met up with his contact and he had to say, I love you, she then says, I have a car nearby. And I wondered if that was that sort of like dogging in 1967.
It could be, yeah, it could be. And at the Quiet Hotel as well, will be code. I wondered what the demo, the wrestling match location seemed a bit. Okay, it's like, why are you meeting up in these really crowded places? I don't know, maybe you're invisible in massive crowds.
I think that's it, yeah. It's the Jimmy Savile theory. Yeah, in plain sight, you can get away with whatever you like.
Yes, yeah.
What we have in this film, which is very strange, is that you've got what they sometimes do in Doctor Who, and they do it in Bond a lot, actually. You have an actor who's been in it before, or will be in it again.
Yeah.
You have Charles Gray as Henderson.
Oh, and he opens, slides that door open, and you just immediately think villain.
Yeah.
His face is just...
Or sex offender.
Yeah. Yeah. Immediately, like, up to no good, clearly.
Yeah, and he says something that just made me go, hang on a minute. He said, I get vodka from the doorman at the Russian embassy, and then he says, among other things. I thought, what? Like mega horse porn or something?
Yeah, and he makes a shit martini as well, from what I can make out.
Yes, that's why I thought he was a villain, because he gave Bond the wrong martini, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
He said stirred, not shaken. That's right.
And he didn't even stir it very long either, which is just not right at all. And then he gets stabbed in the back. So.
Yeah, brilliantly as well. He's midway through his conversation. It'd be brilliant if he was going, by the way, while you're here, I've just realised that I've discovered the cure for cancer. It is... That would be an even better moment.
Yes, yeah. So kind of unconvincing death, though, I think.
Yeah, you'd imagine there'd be a bit of, oh, fucking hell, what was that?
Yeah, bit of a...
And then even weirder after that, when Bond chases the guy who did it and beats him up and then takes his clothes, presumably leaving him there naked, he gets in the car and the guy driving the car basically turns around and says, are you all right? But obviously in Japanese. And Bond just kind of goes, oh, and he drives off. And you think, what's wrong? What's wrong with you?
Again, yeah, I can't make that out, really. Just, it's not altogether convincing. But I guess if you want to get into a stranger's car, maybe the best thing to cover that up is to just mumble things.
Yeah, yeah, just mumble endlessly. And don't arouse any suspicion by just lying on the back seat going, like you've just been kicked really hard in the balls or something. I don't understand what he was trying to achieve there. And then after that, he gets in a fight with someone with a fucking sofa.
Yeah, and a statue and everything else.
Have you noticed, I don't know if you noticed, but in this film, there's quite a lot of films in this era did it, but in this film, more than any, the Foley artists who do footsteps, they're just like, they obviously get paid by decibel. Because when they're running around, all you can hear are these really loud footsteps.
Very ample footsteps,
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's like he's wearing fucking tap shoes.
Yeah, exactly that. In fact, when the when he's hiding, the security guard's coming along. That's all you can hear, isn't it? This echo of footsteps down the hallway.
It's like someone was burgling Fred Astaire's house.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. And then he goes, and then the safe thing. He just. After fighting and rolling around, he somehow has a safe cracker in his pocket.
But it was a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because as soon as... we spent ages watching him tensely open this safe, and he opens it and the fucking alarm goes off. So what's the point? Does that happen all the time, then? I'm just going to open my safe. Oh, for fuck's sake, the alarm's gone off again.
Bizarre. And then he just... He didn't take it. Did you notice that there was some money in the tub as well, and you just left that there?
Yeah.
I'll take some film negatives in an order for smoked salmon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd probably take the money and leave the order for smoked salmon. But that's why I'm not a top spy, I suppose. We need to talk about Tiger Tanaka.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a very nice man, isn't he?
Very, very nice man, yes. Yeah.
I'd love it if someone called me John-san all the time. That would be amazing.
Yes. Yeah. No, you seemed like... He seems like a very nice chap.
He's just like, He's so convivial, isn't he? Like, make yourself at home, Bonsan.
Yes. Yeah.
Shag my wife, Bonsan. Drink all my whiskey, Bonsan.
Yeah, very nice. Probably doesn't seem like the kind of person who would be the head of the Japanese civil service. What am I talking about? Secret service. He just seems a bit too nice. I don't know. Maybe they have to be nice.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But all I could think of when every time I heard Tiger Tanaka was like the guy who does the Japanese Frosties advert.
Yes.
I think they're great, Bonsan.
Yeah.
He'd be very good at that.
Yeah, that scene when Bond sort of slides in. That's interesting, and I think Tiger's right about that. You will get into anything with any girl. So it pretty much says you're a shit spy.
Yeah.
First time Bond gets into his office, that's a fair comment.
Bond can't resist showing himself to be a total prick though, because Tiger puts him on his train, you know, he's very nice to him at every step, and at this point you'd be warming to him in the extreme, you'd be thinking, this is the nicest foreign agent I've ever met in my life, right?
Mm.
And he says, we've got sake, or, you know, we can get you some champagne if you prefer. And he goes, no, sake's fine, especially when it's served at room temperature. Like, fuck you, mate. I don't care about your fucking expert at booze, just shut up and drink it.
Then he immediately demands to be shown his negative thing.
Yeah, and again, he doesn't really say please, does he? He's like, zoom in. Go to the left.
Mm.
Come on, this guy's been really nice to you, and in a minute, he's going to get you seriously fucking laid, I tell you that. He's going to take you back to his house and basically give you what he calls a civilised bath, which I've written down, a concubine car wash.
That's a very good description. It's a bit weird, isn't it? I'm not sure I'd want several people to wash me.
No.
I could handle one person that I liked, but several people just seems really doing it a bit, to be honest.
Yeah, four strangers washing you while you're sitting there in the nud.
I'm under no doubt that you can pay for all that sort of thing in Japan. I mean, they can't be so much like that.
It felt a bit singing detective, didn't it?
Yes, I think that's quite accurate. There's a lot of services that gentlemen can pay for. Yeah, I just don't know why you'd want strangers to just wash you.
But it does have the greatest line in there where it says, the women are very interested in your hairy chest. Bond says, old Japanese proverb, bird never make nest in bare tree.
I don't know what to say about that, really.
Well, if a man said that to you, you'd be hypnotised in some way, I'd imagine. Obviously, from a female perspective here, I'm asking for you.
Oh, I just sigh loudly, really, to be honest, like I have just done. it's just one of those cheesy lines, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it worked, didn't it? Because...
Of course.
The girl, Aki comes back, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's suddenly falling in love with him.
Yeah, the last time she was running away from him and then suddenly she's sneaking into his massage to kiss him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just didn't know what happened. I just found that was just strange that she was quite distant from him the previous scenes and then all of a sudden she's up for it.
Women, am I right?
Terrible, yeah. Especially where Bond is concerned, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, she can't speak English very well. He seems very sophisticated, I'd imagine.
Yes, and he has that hairy chest, of course. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like it's like a spider's web, attracting young flies.
Yes, yeah.
But I did enjoy when Bond went to see Osato, and he walked in there trying to be Mr. Field? No, I can't remember now. Farmer or Freeman? I can't remember now. I probably should have written it down.
I didn't write that down.
No. Fuck it, let's just pretend.
A dull manufacturing person, yeah.
Yeah, but his secretary comes in and suddenly, like, Bond's got the massive horn for her. He's, like, obsessively staring at her and it's really off-putting.
Yes.
She's like, would you like some champagne? And he's like, no, it's too early for me. And then Osato goes, oh, go on. And he goes, all right, then. And then he's just, like, staring at her in a really creepy way.
The whole chesting, yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Osato believes in a healthy chest, sticks chest out, yes.
Yeah. He's giving all men a bad name there, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because I have to say, hashtag not all men.
Well, of course, yeah.
Not all Bonds.
Not all Bonds.
Not all spies. Some.
No. No.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
But what the best bit is when they catch him later. You know when they go to the docks?
Yes.
And Bond gets attacked by the Japanese cast of West Side Story. They kind of walk up like, what you going to do?
They've all look half dressed as well. Did you notice that? They've all got like crop tops on.
Yeah, they all had little Benny from Crossroads hats.
Either West Side Story or Fame even.
Yeah.
Just sort of.
It's like someone said... costume to designer, what do people who work in the docks dress like? Well, they wear little beanies and crop tops. Okay, no problem. And they hold sticks and chains.
Yeah. And they're apparently useless at fighting, given that Bond initially at least manages to just barge past dozens of them without even breaking his stride. I find that a little bit...
Yeah, it does generally... have to be said, they were shite at fighting. They were shit sailors.
Yeah, yeah.
Sailors are supposed to be good at punch-ups, but these were awful.
Mm. See, they didn't have their bell bottoms on. That's probably why.
No one was playing the hornpipe.
They need their proper sailor uniforms, I would imagine, to be effective at fighting.
Yeah, and a good supply of lemons. Or is it lime? Lime, isn't it?
Lime, yeah.
But when Bond does get caught and they ask him why he was there, he says... I like ships, and I used to be a sailor.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of Ron Davis and his Badger story.
Yes,
I was definitely. Out on Hampstead Heath looking for badgers. So what Bond is actually saying is, I've used this before when I've been caught at the dock.
Words are powerful. Take the podcast you're listening to right now. Is it making you laugh out loud? Maybe you've just closed your eyes with satisfaction. That satisfaction you feel when you learn something new. Or have you just inched forward to the edge of your seat in anticipation as to how the story ends? However you feel, shouldn't you really feel? With the new Bose QC35-2 noise-cancelling headphones, enjoy our most powerful listening experience yet. Discover more at bose.co.uk.
Trying to solicit young men.
Mm.
I like ships, and I used to be a sailor. Well, we'll carry on, sir. And what are you doing here at 3 a.m?
Just snooping around.
Yeah, yeah. But again, when he's then, you know, confronted with the Sato secretary again, within seconds.
Yes. Yes.
She's about to cut his skin off, and then...
Yeah, in a ball gown. It's a nice dress, actually. I wouldn't really want to ruin that with blood. But then he does anyway. He cuts the strap off because he's a wanker.
He is.
Well, but he did it for England, so I suppose that's okay.
Doesn't he say the things I do for England at that point?
Yes, yes, he does. While cutting a dress that probably cost you know, a few pounds.
Oh, definitely. It's
just not on, really. It's
not really.
Well, the other thing that I got confused on, because initially the doc guys were in the room, weren't they? They're sort of waking him up by slapping him.
That's it.
And then she says, go in the other room and close the door. So I imagined they were literally just in the other room. They hadn't, like, left the scene entirely and they could hear everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got that bit in Four Weddings and a Funeral where he has to hide in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like there could have been an extra scene there where they sort of barge in, like, this is not the way you interrogate someone.
No. No. Well, and then one of them would go, well, I do, but it never works.
Yeah.
But then she goes through all that and then gives him puts him in an airplane and then parachutes out. Just shoot him in the head.
Yeah. So it's just, and the second time as well that after sex, the woman wants to kill him.
Yeah, he must be really bad at it.
He must be, yeah.
Really, really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does that's that bad. I mean, there's disappointing a lady and then there's actually wanting a lady to kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done the former.
Yes. Yes. So he's in this spiralling downwards plane and somehow manages to... He gets out of it, doesn't he, with his... Yeah. Like, he gets out of everything, so... Worst part of that is obviously the where the footage is quite obviously just on a screen or a background, and she's obviously suspended from a little baby grow thing, whatever, and that's how friends is made. So
yeah, I just think you've got him in a plane, you're flying the plane, just shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
Then land
and
the
plane. And then parachute out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. No, that's a good idea, yeah. Just shoot him and then land the plane. River.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or, you know, give him to the pigs to eat or something. I don't know. But that seems a bit elaborate. You're leaving a chance.
They overcomplicate things, really, don't they?
Yeah. But then Bond gets his little Nelly.
Oh, little Nelly.
Everyone loves little Nelly. I saw little Nelly.
Yeah.
I went to the Bond in Motion exhibition.
Oh, I need to go and see that. Is it good?
It's great. If you like Bond. It's just full of all the vehicles and things, I mean. There's nothing... You know, if you're not interested in any of the vehicles, then it's probably not for you.
Mm.
Yeah, and they've just got vehicles. Little Nelly in the foyer. Yeah, it's just all the cars and stuff from the films. Oh. It was good.
And the jetpack. I might go see that.
Yeah.
Oh, the jetpack.
Yeah, the jetpack.
Oh, yeah. That goes about 4 feet, really, doesn't it? Yeah.
Four and a half.
That'll push.
But Bond was attacked when he was flying Little Nelly. I noticed he was attacked by Mark Almond and Soft Cell.
These
guys wearing black Rolex, sunglasses, and with like black bowl cuts.
Mm.
It was a beautiful moment. It's like Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
It was a visual metaphor of Top of the Pops, like Soft Cell trying to get to number one.
Yes, definitely. The standard sort of villain uniform, the black tops and everything.
But I'd like to ask you a question. If you were to own a pet... Okay.
If I what, sorry?
If you were to own a pet.
A pet.
Or even if you do own a pet currently. What choice of pet would you choose?
It would be a cat.
Definitely a cat.
Yeah.
Cat is a sensible pet. Yeah.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be a piranha then? Or a set of piranhas.
No, it wouldn't be.
Because Blofeld says, I see you admiring my pet piranhas. I'm like, well, how's that a pet? You can't call that a pet.
It's not really a pet, is it?
No.
Although, I do have an interesting story. Well, maybe interesting. So I went to Japan last year for the first time, and I was looking in sort of anime, pop culture type shop that had shelves full of knickknacks and all sorts of things, and just chock-a-block full of various things. And as I was wandering along, all of a sudden, I just came face to face with this piranha in a tank. It was just in there amongst all the other things for sale.
And it was alive?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus
God, Christ. Yes. It just, and then it just launched itself at glass.
Oh my God.
And it was really quite, so apparently having pet piranhas seems to be a bit of a thing in Japan.
I take it back. They're just being torturing.
Yeah, I do have a picture of it, actually, even though there's a thing that says no pictures on it. Of course I took a picture.
Why wouldn't you?
But it really was just this tank, and the water's quite dark because they're quite, you know, they're kind of swampy-type fish. So I just wasn't expecting it at all. Just these teeth came out at me from these shelves with all these other anime characters on. So that was, yeah. So maybe it is, maybe pet piranhas are
maybe so. If I was going to set you up with a fella on a blind date, right, if I said to you, I've got this fella, you know, you might want to go out for a drink for, and you said to me, is he pretty? And I said, she has a face, he has a face like a pig. Would you think that was good?
No.
No. So Tiger Tanaka needs to work on his skills. And she didn't have a face like a pig. What the fuck's he
no,
talking
she
about?
Didn't, no.
She was very pretty.
Yes, very pretty.
Tiger Tanaka is awful.
Yeah, I wonder if that was kind of we're not going to give you what you want, so you might as well get used to it type.
Yeah.
Easing of the
But he's awful to women. How could you say that about a perfectly charming lady? She has a face like a pig.
Unless he was talking about the mother, I don't know.
Oh, he could have been. It's a bit Les Dawson though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really. Yeah.
But would you be happy with Bond's oriental surgery?
Oh. I thought about this scene and I was just, the dye, the coloured dye that they sort of sponge it. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, if someone's a spy and no one's supposed to know who he is, you would just use a Japanese person, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because if no one knows who James Bond is, then, and they don't know what he looks like, then just use a Japanese person. It just doesn't work at all, really. But
he even shaved his ass.
Back, sack and crack.
That's it, they did that. Very elaborate. Mm. I mean, considering that he comes out of it looking like Benny Hill's Chinese character. Next person is going, are you ready, son? Bond's son. And him go, you stupid idiot.
Bond's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect someone to come out and say, my name is James Bond, licensed to kill. Just to get into character. But I just don't understand why they went to all this. It reminded me a bit of, you know, in the Fast Show, there was that character who was like 4 hours in makeup.
Yes.
Yeah, it reminded me a bit of that. They've just basically drawn little lines next to his eyes and stuck a bowl haircut wig on his head.
Yeah, exactly that. And then he doesn't even really look Japanese.
He looks nothing like a Japanese person. Especially as they unfortunately sit him next to one for quite a while.
Yeah.
You'd want to avoid that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you dressed a lamb up as a dog, you wouldn't put it next to a dog because you think that's a lamb.
It's yes. Not a dog. No, it's just, I didn't. That's kind of really, I think, the point for me where it all got a bit okay.
And especially later on when he's with his wife in Speech Marks. And he says, he goes to say that we must sleep together, because obviously that's all he thinks about. And she says, well, no, I'm not doing that. And then he says, but we have to keep up appearances in a Scottish accent.
Yeah. He's just such a shit spy. But, well, I don't know, I guess he's thinking, well, we're in our little marital home now, I don't have to pretend. But if you're a spy, you would think, well, the house is probably bugged, so I should probably not slip back into who I am.
But he's obsessed, like, even when they go walking up that mountain, they get halfway, and he's just basically like, well, about that honeymoon. It's like, well, we're on the job, James. We're not going to start shagging every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it's a bit unfair, really, isn't it? And having to walk up a volcano wearing a bikini, it's not the most...
appropriate.
No, it isn't. Well, they're saying that, and this is... I did think about it. I have walked up... the side of a well, an extinct volcano in a bikini in St. Lucia, the sulfur springs at the side of the Pitons in St. Lucia, and you can sort of walk up and bathe in the springs and you will be all beautiful and youthful. So maybe it's not completely out of the realms of reality.
But you weren't dragged up there by a middle-aged spy, though, were you?
So yeah, pretty much, you know, she walks up there in a bikini. I think that's pretty decent of her, to be honest.
But also, there's the fact that they kind of made a big deal about the fact that it took them ages to get there.
Yeah.
And then when they get there, it's like they'd gone through some sort of krypton factor trial to get there. And then they get there, and then he's like, quick, go back and tell Tanaka to bring everybody. What, by myself? I don't remember how to get back from here.
I know. Which she does remarkably quickly.
Hey, she comes through.
Yeah.
He may have had doubts about her, but by crikey, she proved him wrong.
Yeah, that volcano. I mean, that volcano set, I think, for me, was... It's probably part of why I love the film so much.
Oh, yeah.
Because every good villain has a secret volcano lair.
Mm-hmm.
That
was a proper set as well.
It was a proper set. I believe it would cost, just that volcano set alone, cost the entire budget of Dr. No.
Yeah, it cost $1 million.
Yeah.
In 1967.
Mm.
Imagine that now. It's crazy.
Yeah. That would be a lot, wouldn't it?
Funnily enough, it's the biggest set until The Spy Who Loved Me, which built a bigger set and had full-size submarines in it, which effectively rips off the plot as well. So it seems only fitting. Mm.
Yeah. But no, it's a great set. I did like the sliding, the metallic...
monorail.
Fake water.
The fake water.
The monorail is great.
Yeah.
Which I imagine on the film set was just being pumped by a few guys.
Yeah. You'd be on that all day, wouldn't you?
I'd totally be on. Seriously, if I had endless amounts of money, I would have a volcano lair with a little monorail on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet Branson's got one.
Yeah, I bet he has as well.
He lives on his own island, doesn't he? I bet he's got
one. He does.
And there's that little... I couldn't help think, have you seen The Incredibles?
Yes, it's my favourite Pixar film.
Yeah, well, there's one of those monorails that keeps going around. It's a big ball. And I thought they were in The Incredibles, weren't they? So I wonder if that's a deliberate homage.
It might be, yeah. I thought that... Yeah, I think that sort of... That whole scenery with the island and the... volcano it seemed very, very similar.
And then you get Blofeld, Donald Pleasance. He's very good, isn't he?
He's with his cat.
What's happened to his eye?
I don't know. It's not really explained, is it?
No, because you get the scar, which I get, but then you get this extraneous skin going over half the eye. Which must be really annoying. It must like constantly be having like, you know, when you lean on your hand and half your finger goes over your eye. It must constantly be like that. It must constantly be thinking, have I got my finger on my face? Oh no, it's my eye.
Yeah, I guess
he could do better. Whatever.
Yes, but whatever injury he suffered, I guess it's
presumably it's a spectre thing, because Largo had an eye patch. So as part of the initiation ceremony, let's poke your fucking eye out or something.
Yeah, it could well be, yeah.
Maybe a Cameron-style pig fucking, but they'd use your eye socket.
The thing I don't get about Blofeld, though, is that the stiff, the grey uniform, it's like, mate, you've got a volcano lair and all these stuff and people that you just command. I'd be in a Hawaiian shirt or something, something comfortable.
String vest and pants.
Yeah, it just seems unnecessary.
It does. It's over-egging the pudding, really.
Yeah.
And the cat as well.
Yeah.
We get it. You're gay, all right? We get it. just put the cat down and get on with your job, all right?
Yeah. Especially what's his name? Helper, assistant Hans, the one who feeds the piranhas.
Oh, yeah, Hans, yeah.
Yeah. Again, in the villain outfit, the black... Mm-hmm. Pulling it with the
giving him a special little gold chain. But you know, to be honest, as a Bond film, I make notes all the way through them. But when it got to the volcano bit, I just stopped because I was really enjoying it.
Yes.
So it's actually a really satisfying ending in this one. The only thing I wrote is that when they get out of the volcano and then Bond says, about that honeymoon, it's like, again, Jesus Christ. And then
she's
No, and then she says, they'll never let you stay. And then he says, they'll never find us, which made me think he's going to murder her. It's the sort of thing, it's the sort of thing Reginald Christie would say.
And then the volcano just erupts everywhere.
Which is probably some sort of euphemism.
I mean, the thing, I just going back to sort of the whole volcano standoff, really. I want to know where are the cameras that have supposedly can see the spaceship in space? I mean, it's just not. And the timer, the countdown timer that's counting down is just, which takes minutes, but just, you know, when it's the time isn't keeping up with what you're seeing on screen. Mm. Something that annoys me in films where it keeps counting down. There's like 5 seconds left and then several minutes later, oh, there's 4 seconds left. That kind of thing just really grates that they can't film it so that he did at least have a few minutes left on the ticker to do his thing, work his magic, do his spy thing.
And again, it's someone's job to actually just verbalise the countdown.
Yeah.
10 seconds and counting.
Mm.
And there was one guy's job who said to say everything twice. He was like that guy from Goodfellas who says everything twice.
Yes.
He was like, astronauts to the launch bay. Astronauts to the launch bay.
Mm.
He should have spiced up a bit and done a Bruce Forsyth. Like, astronauts to the launch bay. Launch bay, astronauts to.
Yeah, that would have been good. We'd spice things up a bit. So yeah, it was all a bit of a mess up in that control room.
It was run terribly.
Yeah, but then I do wonder, you know, did Blofeld did he pay any of these people, or were they all there under fear? You know,
I'm guessing they're on sort of 0 hours contract.
Mm.
In many ways, he's like Mike Ashley.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, well, in many ways he's not. But
you can imagine them having to sort of, you know, if they needed to go to the loo, they'd be timed on how long they took, that sort of thing.
Yeah. There's probably babies in there from staff who've been pregnant but aren't allowed to leave to have babies. Yeah,
I can't imagine Blofeld's a good employer.
No, God no. No, I expect the only person he's nice to is his cat and Hans.
Yeah.
Was it Hans? Yeah. I think it was Hans.
Yeah, it's his Hans, yeah.
Who does dishes? Sorry. Anyway, we've reached the point of the podcast where I ask the Smersh questions, if you're ready.
Okay,
yeah. Are you happy, ready?
I think so, yes.
Have you enough gin?
I've got a nice amount of gin, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, here we go. So, number one, who is the best Bond and what is the best Bond film in your opinion?
So I think my favourite Bond film is You Only Live Twice. I think just the number of times that I've watched it, I always enjoy it, even though it's just completely crazy. Volcano Lair just seals the deal for me. Bond, I do like Sean Connery, I have to say. I do like what Daniel Craig's done with Bond, and I know that's a sore point for you, but I guess I'd say Sean Connery's.
Excellent. Okay, lovely. So, and in that case, the opposite question, who is the worst Bond and what is the worst Bond film, in your opinion?
Oh, the worst Bond, I would say, and this is no reflection at all on the actor or the person, obviously, I just never really got into Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
I just never gelled with his portrayal at all. Just for some reason, I don't know why, just didn't connect, to be honest. And the worst Bond film has got to be... Is it? Can I say Never Say Never Again? Because it's not even really a Bond film, is it?
Well, it's non-canon.
No.
But we are going to do it in this run of of shows, so you can say.
I just think it's one of those ones that just shouldn't have been made. So, I think all the others have... I think are reasonable, So I think that would be the worst one.
Okay, brilliant. And who would you have as James Bond next?
Ooh. I would say... Oh God, I'm not even sure. I don't even know if I've thought about this. I kind of think James Bond should end on... In some ways, I think it's been sort of done, that whole... Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm not sure, even sure if I want Bond to continue. Just the whole thing, with Craig. Will you do it more? And I haven't been hugely impressed with the sort of latest films.
No.
I just wonder, is it time to lay the character to bed?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Good. It's the best answer yet. I mean, because you haven't tried to think of anybody. You've just said, fucking kill it now. Bond is full of stupid names, i.e. Moneypenny, Penelope Smallbush, Dr. Goodhead. Give me your best Bond lady name that you've just thought of now.
Oh, gosh.
I can accept that.
Gene kind of slows my brain down a bit, so... Oh, God. I can't even think. It would probably be something like Fluffy Go Lightly.
Fluffy Go Lightly.
Mm.
Okay, I like that. So, and then same sort of question, I'm afraid. Sorry, I'm not very original. Give me your best Bond film title that you've just made up.
That would be... I hadn't thought about this at all.
Unbelievable.
I don't know, Pillow Fights Forever.
Oh, I like that. It's so suggestive.
Yeah.
Yet playful.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, next question. A hypothetical fistfight takes place between Simon Templar, the Saint, and James Bond 007. Who wins?
Oh, the Saint, definitely.
The Saint. Alrighty.
Yeah.
And finally, you're stranded on an island with Sean Connery, George Lazenby, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig. Who do you elect as leader to devise your rescue attempt? And if that fails, who do you eat first?
So I would elect Daniel Craig. Mm. I think he would... I do like his portrayal of Bond. And I would eat Pierce Brosnan first.
Yeah. Probably nutritious.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a nice guy, but the connection just isn't there for me. So.
No, well, it's a game of opinions. Well, thank you so much, Science, for appearing in this week's Smash Pod. It's been an absolute joy to have you.
Thank you very much. It's been very good to chat about my favourite Bonds. So, yeah, very nice to chat to you.
Good. And you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com. imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.